Okay, who knows what that is? Yeah, what? It's a missile, that's right, that's a missile. And what you use a missile for is in wars, air wars, you fire missiles. I know this is a bit of a make-believe one, I thought a real war might be a bit scary, but you use missiles to destroy enemy spaceships or jets in the real world. But this missile here is actually a very special type of missile. In fact, this missile is much, much scarier and much, much more dangerous than any ordinary missile. Anyone have any idea what kind of missile it might be? Yeah, Mitchell? Yeah. Eh? Not nuclear, no. It's a heat-seeking missile. That's a heat-seeking missile. Now, you might be wondering what it is that makes a heat-seeking missile so very scary. Well, I'm going to try and demonstrate it for you. I need my volunteers, the Moroni boys, I think, were going to help me. Reuben and... Where are they? You going to come and help me? You going to do my missile demonstration? Uh-huh. Want to help? Okay, yep. Nicholas, you can come up as well. So, the thing is, if you're a... the thing that makes a heat-seeking missile scary is that if you're a really good pilot like this guy... Yeah. That's him up there as well. Thanks, you guys can sit down. Actually, I'll take those glasses. Are you going to clap? Because that was a pretty good effort, wasn't it? In a minute, you guys sit down. Alright, so that's why an ordinary missile isn't that scary, okay? Because if you're a good pilot, like this guy, then you can dodge out of the way and it doesn't actually really hurt you that much. But this is where a heat-seeking missile is much, much worse. Because what a heat-seeking missile can do is it actually senses the heat of the aeroplane it's trying to destroy. Okay? So it doesn't matter if the aeroplane tries to dodge or if the aeroplane tries to hide, the heat-seeking missile will pick up on the heat. See, there's a little fire in there. It'll sense it. And if it goes up, the heat-seeking missile will go up. If it goes down, it'll go down. If it tries to hide somewhere, it'll find it and chase it until it blows up. And I think we should probably act that out as well, shouldn't we? So, yeah, Nicholas, you can help this time. Do you want to be the heat-seeking missile? And, yep, EJ, do you want to be the target? Can't hold that. Can't fly without these. Come over here, I'll just show you how it works, all right? Come over here, Nicholas. So what I'll get you to do... Put a go. Back here, Nicholas.
Your dead meat.
Your dead meat. Wait. Take off. Try. I'm taking missile lock. Fire! And look at your way. Now, you might be wondering why I'm doing this, because it might not sort of... I promise you, it actually makes sense, this whole heat-seeking missile thing. Because after all, you know, we're not in the Air Force here. We're not trying to be this guy or learn how to do that. But the reason I'm talking about heat-seeking missiles is because the idea of these heat-seeking missiles actually helps us to understand something else that's quite scary. But before we look at that, I think it'd be good for us just to stand up. We might sing another song... So I'll get the musicians to come up, we'll do that, and then we'll sit down again and I'll explain why it is that I've been talking about the heat-seeking missile. All right, so why the heat-seeking missile? Well, as I said before, the heat-seeking missile actually helps us understand something else that is very scary and that everyone needs to think about. And that's what it is. God's anger. The heat-seeking missile actually helps us understand something about the anger of God. Now, most of us don't really like the idea of God being angry. I think a lot of us would actually rather think of God like this. Yeah, it's a nice, cute, fluffy bunny. Now, that never gets angry, that's all cuddles and cuteness and nice and safe. We like that idea of God, but we don't like the idea of a God that gets angry. But what I want to say to you is that having a God that never gets angry is actually a horrible idea. A God that never gets angry is actually a very scary idea. Much better to have a God that gets angry than a God that doesn't, because a God that doesn't get angry is a God that doesn't care. If God never got angry, it would mean he doesn't care. Okay, now think about it a bit, and especially you kids, I want you to have a good think about this. What is it, you know, that sometimes when your mum and your dad get angry with you, why do they do that? Why is it that your parents get angry? Josh, put your hand up. No, yeah, do you want to say? Yeah, well, actually, that's spot on, you see. Your parents don't get angry at you because they hate you, okay? And they don't get angry at you because they don't care about you. Your parents get angry precisely because they do care about you. And because they love you. In fact, they love you so much that they can't bear to see you doing bad things. And they actually really care about how you grow up and what sort of person you turn into. You see, the thing is, anger... I'll take your question later, Nicholas. You put your hand up. Anger is not the opposite of love. It's not the opposite of love. There is a type of good, righteous anger that comes out of love. And that's the kind of anger that God has. See, a God that doesn't get angry is a God that doesn't care, and there is nothing more frightening than the thought of a God that doesn't care. Imagine if God didn't get angry about all this stuff, about all the evil in the world. Just imagine for a minute if God sort of sat up in heaven, just sort of looking down at all of this and went, huh, it's okay. Doesn't bother me. Not going to get angry about it. Not my problem. I'm not going to do anything. Imagine a God that did nothing, that felt nothing, and that didn't care about all the hurt and pain and evil in the world. Imagine if God didn't care. That's a scary thought, isn't it? We need God to be angry about sin. And the thing is, he is angry. He is very angry about evil, and his anger is like a heat-seeking missile. I'll get two more volunteers up. Anyone else want to have a volunteer? Yeah, Julia, do you want to come up? And maybe Isabella, do you want to come up as well? You see, God's anger isn't a heat-seeking missile. It's a sin-seeking missile. Yeah, you can show everyone what's on the target. See, instead of there being heat there, there's sin there. Because God's anger seeks out sin. There is not a single evil thing in this world that God doesn't notice. None of it can escape from him. He will find every single bit of it. He will seek it all out. And sin cannot hide from God's anger. He cares about every single bit. He will follow it and find it no matter where it tries to go. And no matter how well it tries to hide itself. Okay? Now we're getting very close to how all this leads to the body and blood of Jesus. All right, we're going to do that next. But before we get there, we're going to sing another song. And in this song, I'm actually going to get the kids to help us out a little bit. I've got a box of instruments down there. Would you like to come up and grab an instrument and help us play along with this song? All right, so we've seen so far that God's anger is like a heat-seeking missile, but instead of seeking out heat, it seeks out sin. Now, as I said before, there's a sense in which that is very good news for us, because it shows us that God cares very much about all of the evil in this world. It shows us that we have a God that is not happy to just stand by and not care about what's going on this planet. However, it also raises a bit of a problem for us. Because the thing is, all of us do evil. Instead of us consistently living with God as our king, we decide to make ourselves king instead, and we decide to live life our own way without God. And that's really what sin is. And what is it that we do when we put ourselves in the driver's seat, when we decide to be king? Well, we do all sorts of horrible stuff. We lie. We break each other's trust. We're greedy. We don't share. We want to have things all to ourselves. We're selfish and we want to look out for ourselves, and who cares what happens to everyone else, provided that I'm okay. We're jealous and envious. And sometimes we hate other people because they've got stuff that we don't have and we want it. And instead of just being happy for them, we wish that we had it instead of them. We hurt other people. We don't think about how other people feel and act in a way that tries to make them happy and feel loved. But sometimes we just feel like doing things that are going to make other people upset. And we exclude people. We leave people out. And often we don't go out of our way to be there for all of the lonely people and all of the people that need friends. And we do plenty more besides. All of it evil, all of it sin, and all of it contributing to the way that this world is. You see, we're all the problem. And because God hates sin, he is very angry at us. Can I get some more volunteers up? I need four this time. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yep.
All right, you can... See, because of this, we have God's sin... Hold that up, so everyone can see. We've got God's sin-seeking missile pointed right at us.
So yeah, hold your sin things up so people can see them that way. That's right. That's it. Yeah? And that's the scary thing. That's the situation that we're all in. But this is the great news, and this is where the Lord's Supper and the body and blood of Jesus comes in, because God is a very loving God. And he actually loves us so much that he wants to save us from his righteous anger for what we deserve. He wants to save us from that. And God has done something to save us that is absolutely amazing. He has stepped in and he has taken all of this anger upon himself. Was there another volunteer over here somewhere that wanted to have a turn at volunteering? Did I left out? No? Not there? EJ, do you want to come and help me with this next bit? Can you grab this and hold that? And you guys come back this way a little bit. That's right, just so that everyone can see what's going on. You see, when Jesus Christ, when God the Son, died on this cross, when his body, which we remember with the bread, was broken, and when his blood was shed, which we remember with the grape juice, what he was doing there was he was actually taking upon himself all of our sins. So you guys keep standing there, and I'm just going to stick these up here on the cross. You see, on the cross, Jesus took all of God's anger for all of the evil that we have done, all of the evil that we still do, because none of us are perfect, are we? We still sin, we still do these things, but all of the anger that that sin deserved got taken here as well. And all of the anger for the sin we're going to do before Jesus came back got taken here as well. Ooh. It's okay, we probably don't. Maybe, do you want to sort that out for later for the song, Marcus, but we can keep moving. Oh, there we go. I want to read to you a little passage. This comes from the book of Romans chapter 3, and it says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Now, you see where it says sacrifice of atonement there? In the original language of the Bible, that's just one word, and that one word means someone that takes God's anger. Yeah? God presented him as someone who takes God's anger so that we could be saved through faith. It's an amazing gift, isn't it? That our sin could be taken from us and be dealt with on the cross of Christ in Jesus' body and in Jesus' blood. Wonderful gift. If we understand that, then it helps us understand the love of God in an amazing way, because we can see the lengths that he's willing to go to save us. When we reflect on what Jesus has done on the cross, it encourages us. It helps us to stand firm. But it also encourages us to go on God's mission. Because if we get this, then we're going to want more and more and more people to come to know Jesus too, so that God's anger against them couldn't be taken on the cross as well. And guys, that's what we're going to remember when we eat the bread and when we drink the grape juice. We're going to think about Jesus' body on the cross taking God's anger in our place. That's what we're going to be thinking about. That's what we're going to be remembering. And that's what we're going to be understanding more and more. Okay, so we're going to do that in a minute. Now, the way that this works here at Summerlees, we are happy for children to take the Lord's Supper, but we leave it up to parents to decide if their kids are ready. So, if you're not sitting next to your parents, kids, you need to go and sit next to them now, because we're not going to hand it out to you. We're going to give it to your parents, and if they think you're ready, they'll let you have some. Okay? So, kids, you go sit next to your parents now. Thanks, CJ. I'll take that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus. Lord, it's hard to express or even begin to get at the kind of gratitude we feel for that sacrifice. We thank you for the miracle that God the Son could die in our place, take upon himself our guilt and our shame for all the evil that we do, and then in our place experience all of your righteous anger against sin. Lord, it is just so gracious. We know that we don't deserve it. There's nothing that we have done that you should love us or care for us or sacrifice your own son to make us right with you. And yet that's exactly what you've done in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you so much for his body and blood. We pray now that as we take bread to think of his body and as we drink the juice to think of his blood shed for us, that you would fill us anew with assurance, with a passion for you, and a desperate desire to go out in the world and live as your people all the more. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Well, I'll ask some of the elders to come and help me hand out the bread and the juice. What we do at Summerlees is we hang on to those, and then at the end we'll all take them together. Also, if you're a visitor and you're not sure about all this stuff that I've been saying today, and you haven't worked out yet whether you actually believe in the things that I've been speaking about, please feel very free just to let the bread or the juice go past. It's not something that people are going to think you're funny for not partaking in. We have people here often who aren't Christians and who just let that go, and that's totally fine. So we don't want this to be something that's awkward for you. But there isn't much point actually in drinking the juice or eating the bread unless you actually believe what it stands for, if that makes sense. So we'll hand this out now. Please hold on to it, and then we'll take it all together at the end. Jesus gave his body on the cross for you, and when he did, he took upon himself your sin and all of the righteous anger that sin deserves. Eat this and know that you now have reconciliation with God because of what Jesus has done. When Jesus shed his blood, he took all of God's anger upon himself in your place. Drink this and know that you now have peace with God and are his loved child because of what Jesus has done for you. Gracious Lord, we know that often we take the cross for granted. It's such a familiar image to us as Christians. It's on our buildings. We wear it as jewellery. We see it everywhere, and yet we forget just how amazing it truly is. Lord, help us to marvel afresh at all that Jesus has achieved for us. Help us to truly understand your grace in giving him for us. And thank you for the relationship that we now share with you because of all that he has done. Lord, help us to believe all the stronger and to follow you with passion and love as we live out the lives that you've given to us in Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.